Good morning. I am not Pastor Leonard Thompson, in case you didn't know that. I'm Bill O'Boyle, and I'm the associate pastor here. And if I haven't met you, I would like to meet you and get to know you. We talk all the time about this being our family. This church needs to be a family. We need to live as a family and care about each other. But if we don't know each other, we can't really do that, right? So it is my desire to get to know you, and that's just how I'm wired. God wants me to be a pastor. You know, when I first started, went into full-time ministry, which was quite a shock for me because I was a high school coach and loved doing that. And I felt this church called me to do this, and I loved every bit of it except for one piece, and that was preaching. I thought, God, I can't do this. For a lot of reasons. One was I wasn't a good public speaker. And so if you're not confident in doing this, this is brutal. Chris, I think it needs to turn out just a little. And so that was one thing. Then I just didn't feel like I was worthy as a man. I was like, man, what am I going to get up there and tell them? All right? And then I was afraid I was going to say some things wrong. You ever worry about that when you're teaching your kids or teaching somebody something you don't want to... getting a little feedback. The last thing you want to do is teach them something wrong. And then my last thing was really big because then I was like, oh no, if I go up front, they're going to find out who I really am. And I'm just as bad as they are. And I'm struggling just as bad as everybody else is. And I thought people who go up front to speak, they're got to be perfect, or at least they got to be better than everybody else. And God kind of hit me upside the head early on in my ministry time of teaching. And he said that really, I'm supposed to share with you what God's word says. Okay, it's not my information, my knowledge, my understanding, just what his word says. Then I'm supposed to help you walk it out. Boy, that took a lot of weight off my shoulders, you know? And then the last thing is to encourage you to keep going, right? Being a Christian's not always easy. Following Jesus isn't always easy. As a matter of fact, it's difficult. And that's the message I'm going to bring today. Not how difficult it is, but that God wants us to be strong and courageous. It's what he wants. And sometimes we take on a wrong meaning with that. So I want to go to 1 Chronicles, if you would. 1 Chronicles 28. And let's just pray and ask God that he would bless this word as we share it. Father, we love you. We thank you for all that you do in our lives, God, that you're amazing. You're always trying to build us up and teach us and show us how we're to live, Father. So I just pray this morning would be one of those times, Father, that we hear your truths in it. God, then we'd have the courage to stand up and follow what your word says. Bless us in your son's name. Amen. All right. I'm looking at this. Yeah, I'm going to do this. It's a big chapter. So I'm not going to do all of it, and I'll tell you when I jump to different verses, but let's start on verse 1. It says this. Now David assembled at Jerusalem all the leaders of Israel, the officers of the tribes and the captains of the divisions who served the king, the captains over thousands and captains over hundreds, and the stewards over all the substance and possessions of the king and of his sons, with the officials, the valiant men, and all the mighty men of valor. In other words, he got everybody together, right? All right, then King David rose to his feet and said, hear me, my brethren and my people. I had it in my heart to build a house of rest for the Ark of the Covenant and the Lord and for the footstool of our God and had made preparations to build it. Catch this. But God said to me, you shall not build a house for my name because you have been a man of war and have shed blood. We're going to jump to, I think it's verse 6. Now he said to me, it is your son Solomon who shall build my house and my courts. Jump again to verse 9. As for you, my son, now David is talking to Solomon. As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Verse 11. Then David gave his son Solomon the plans, and it goes on for about 8 verses. The details, how much gold, how to build everything. I mean, he gives him really good details. And in verse 19, it says this. All this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing. So in other words, it was God who gave this plan to him. By his hand upon me, all the works of these plans. Verse 20. And David said to his son Solomon, be strong and of good courage and do it. Do not fear nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, my God, will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you until you have finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. So here's the story. David, who's a man after God's own heart, right? Somebody who that God has blessed, has changed the direction of Israel. Everything that he had done was a mighty. And he said, you know what? The war times had ended. I want to build a house. I want to build a temple to house the Ark of the Covenant and God's presence. And we could go there and worship it. What a great idea, right? I thought, that is awesome, Dave. Let's do this. And what does God say to him? No. He said, no, this is what I want. I want you to get your son to do this. You know, you're a warrior. You go out, you shed blood, you killed. And I looked it up, by the way, how many men David killed. And I tried to find there's contrary stuff. But we know it's tens of thousands of people based on other scripture verses. But a lot of scholars say between 70 and 80,000 people. So there's a lot of blood on his hands. So God was saying, my temple, I want it to be a house of peace. I want this to be built by your son Solomon. Okay? So we're all good there. David tells Solomon all the instructions on how to build the temple. David tells Solomon to be strong and courageous and do it. Don't be afraid. God is with you and will not leave you nor forsake you. Get this. Be strong and courageous in obeying. It always struck me strange during that time because most time whenever I hear the words be strong and courageous, I'm thinking, it's going to get tough. You're going to go to battle. You're going to go to war. You're going to have some major trauma in your life. Something overly difficult is getting ready to go through your life. And this isn't one of those. This is, you're going to need to be strong and courageous just in obeying. Just in being obedient. Following these instructions I've given you. He told told Solomon all the details and then ends it with be strong and courageous and do it. Let's jump to Moses and Joshua, because that's another time. There's only a few times where the term written this way is even put in the Bible. And this is when Moses told Joshua that he's going to take the people into the land, that Moses isn't going to be able to take the people into Canaan. Okay? And so Moses tells him that God spoke. Wait, sorry, I'm backed up. I lost it. He says, I don't know if Moses was thinking. Oh, I got it. I don't know that if Moses was thinking about the battle and the war and what it's going to take to overtake Canaan, but he told him to be strong and courageous. And then once again, in Joshua 1, and that's where I want you to go if you got your Bibles, Joshua 1, God is speaking to Moses. And he says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm given to them, the children of Israel. Every place the soles of your feet will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Here we go. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall, what? Go to war for them? No, it says, you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to the fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Courage and strength to obey. That just struck me that as Christians, we need courage and to be strong, because following him isn't always easy. And I'm not talking about the major things that happen as Christians and martyrism and all these things that happen in other countries. But just to obey God's word is going to take you being strong and courageous. Look at what it says in Ephesians. And I'm not going to read all this. Ephesians 6 says, finally, my brethren, this is verse 10, says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand all the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, we all are familiar with that verse, right? That chunk of scriptures. Put on the whole armor of God. Do you know what's right before it? Or the chapters before it? If you start in chapter 4, and I'm just going to summarize just quickly. In chapter 4, the instruction to us is to walk in unity. Be in it together. Walk in unity. And that could be a whole message, and I think I've done that message before. Walk in unity. Talks about spiritual gifts and the importance of it. Being a new man, being a new creation, being a new person. When you give your life to God, he makes you new. Amen. He says to watch your words and watch your actions. And I'm really summarizing that, because it goes into details about some of the sins and the things that we have gotten caught up into. But in a nutshell, it's saying, watch what comes out of your mouth and watch your actions. Chapter 5. That we need to make sure we're loving each other. That's what he says. That's hard sometimes, isn't it? And then once again, stop sinning. Interesting, it keeps coming up. It says walk in the light, follow the Holy Spirit, and then all of a sudden he starts giving details. This is where it comes in there about wives, submit to your husband, which we hate that word, right? Why I do premarital counseling. I'm actually doing premarital counseling right now for a couple, and we're going to talk about that word and what it means, okay? Wives, submit. It gives instructions. Then he says, husbands, love your wife. But he doesn't just say love your wife. He says love your wife the way that Christ loved the church. He laid down his life for us, the church. He died. He laid down his want for the bigger picture, for his bride. That's our example of love. Not easy, men, is it? Chapter 6. Teenagers love this one. Children, obey your parents. Once again, instructions. Parents, fathers, don't exasperate your children. Don't drive them crazy. Don't pick at it. Don't be like Proverbs talk about the dripping faucet of a wife, you know, that just exasperate them, driving them to, you know, so that they act out and they get angry. Then it talks about slaves and bondservants. And the way I've looked at this in today's society, that's really good for us, because it's really employee nowadays, because a bondservant chose to be under that. They've said they will go under and work for this many years to pay off this debt. Well, isn't that kind of what we're doing with our jobs? We go work for someone, and it gives us instructions on how we ought to honor the leaders and the people put in authority above us. Then it says, finally, my brethren. See, he wouldn't have said, finally, my brethren, if it was about stuff coming after it. He's talking about those things before. It's not easy. That's what he's saying. Man, I want you to walk in unity. I want you to love each other. I don't want all this discourse. I don't want churches to be against churches. If you're under the umbrella of loving the Lord, we need to support and love each other and walk together and figure it out together and be in it together. We need to look different to the world because we love each other. See, they're already in discord. They know what discord is. See, they live that way in their own lives. It says you're a new creation. Be different. It's okay. Watch your words. Be careful what you say. Be careful the language you use. Be careful. Watch your actions. Love each other. All these things in themselves as a church, we go, oh yeah, we got this. But what is reality for us? It's tough sometimes, right? It is difficult sometimes. See, we all think differently sometimes. But then he says, finally, my brother. My wife told me this last night. I'm going to see if I can pull it up. In the message, it's not a great tool to study what God's word says, but it's a great, simple terminology for us to understand. It gets to chapter 6, and it gets on with all these things, unity, sinning, walking in the light, follow the Holy Spirit. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit to your husband. Children, obey your parents. Employers, all this stuff, and says this in the message, and that about wraps it up. God is strong, and he wants you strong. See, here's the problem with Christians nowadays, or many Christians, is that we know all the rules. We can quote it to you. We can say them over and over again. We can tell you all the things that the church has taught us, but we don't do it. See, I love the terminology to Solomon. He said, be strong and courageous and do it. Follow these things. Follow the teachings. Don't just know it in your head. Live it. Move forward in it. And that takes strength. Now, I know there are people going through hard things. I know that. I've gone through some hard things in my life. And there's a time where when we say be strong and courageous, it makes a lot of sense to some of you. You're like, you know what? I need this word. I need to be strong because what I'm going through right now is tough. It's difficult. There are things that are hard, and sometimes we don't know what our next step's even going to be. And God wants us to trust him and be strong and courageous. See, there's something that we all need to understand, and that is God loves you, and he cares about what's going on in your life. So we need to be strong and trust him because sometimes it just doesn't make sense. I've had many people come to me and tell me hard things they're going through, and I don't know how to respond other than, man, I'll walk it out with you. I love you. I don't understand either. But you're going to have to be strong and trust God. Not strong in your ability to deal with the situation, but strong in your faith in trusting that God's got it. Even if the outcome is different than what you want. Whew, that's hard sometimes, isn't it? See, it's easy to be strong and courageous if we know that we're going to get over this cancer and we're going to win it. It's easy to be strong and courageous if we know all the efforts that I'm putting into this is going to heal my marriage, my relationships. I'm going to get my job at the end of it. You know, it makes sense. I'm going to buck up. I'm going to be strong, and I'm going to do this, and God's going to bless us. He's going to do this, and that's not what it's saying. It's saying be strong and courageous. Trust me and obey me and do the things I've told you to do. Even when it doesn't seem like it's all going to work out. Be strong and courageous. You know what? For those people, I think sometimes being strong and courageous is opening up your life to other people. So many of us want to just walk our own battles, our hardships, our difficulties by ourselves. We feel like, I've got God. That's all I need. And yes, in a very simplistic way, that is truth. That's all we need is God. But see, God has placed people around you in your life for a reason. And I remember once when I was in Indiana, I was a simple little thing, but I was at a restaurant, and this guy wanted to buy my meal. And I thought, you don't buy my meal. What are you buying my meal for? You know. And he said, man, you're robbing me a blessing if you don't let me do this. And I thought, what? He says, you're robbing me a blessing. Do you ever think that sometimes God has people around you in your life because God wants them to walk it out with you? Part of your experience and difficulty and hardship and all those fears that go with it, that maybe God, it's not just about you. Maybe God wants you to open up so that you will begin trusting him to people. Because let me tell you something. God placed people in my life many, many, many times to help me walk through some things. There's many illustrations I have just of even being careful not to look at people in here, of people in this audience who've gone through difficult things, and all they needed to get them back on track was them to open up and just say, help. I'm struggling. I'm hurting. I don't know what to do. They need to be strong and courageous, and sometimes I feel like being strong and courageous is opening up and to someone. Now listen, when I say that, I am meaning to someone who loves the Lord and loves you. I think we need to be very careful who we open up to. I'll leave that at that, okay? All right, but I also know this, that following God and his word is very difficult for all of us. Living your life contrary to what the world says, what your friends say, what society says, it's difficult, right? If we're just going to be honest, and if we're that one group in the entire world where it's easy, I don't believe you, okay? We live in a world that distorts the truth, right? Churches have distorted the truth. They've taken a piece of God's word and they pieced it together with another verse and another verse and drew a conclusion that has nothing to do with what God's word is teaching. They've taken them out of context. Say, no, God said this is okay. I'm completely, as Pastor talked about last week, God, surely God says okay because he wants me to be happy. That's not God. See, God has called us to step out from the world and to live a life differently. And to do that, when you ask God into your life to follow him, he's asking you to be strong and courageous and live a life that's different from what the world and society. I don't want churches and Christians to be intentionally running around trying to look different and do. No, he's talking about the actions and the sin and the way of thinking. I mean, it's crazy to the world that we give an offering. Why in the world would you give your money to the church? That makes no sense. But as a follower of God, he tells us to do that. He says to do this. So to them, it is crazy. It is insane. Well, why you barely are making your bills pay? Why in the world would you do that? I remember many times my wife and I sit down saying, you know what? I do not understand how we're going to make ends meet and give the tithe. I remember many of those times. And then I remember us saying, we're going to choose to obey, even though it's going to be difficult and we have no idea what it's going to mean. We may have a week-long fast. We don't know, okay? But we're just going to do it. And God has blessed us in ways we had no idea was coming. Is it always that way? Nope. But enough times that you knew it had to be God. Had to be God. This is too crazy to get a check in the mail or to have somebody give you drop cash off at your house. That kind of stuff is too crazy, even in society standard, for it to be anything but God. But do we give our money to God so that he will give us back money and bless us? No. We do it as an act of obedience. We do it because his word says it. And we have to be strong and courageous and trust that his word is truth and do what it says. One of the things I've learned, it doesn't take courage or strength to do what you want to do, to live by your own flesh. I could wake up every day without any effort and be selfish. I can. I can make every day of my life about me easily. I mean, I care about people too. Well, you know, if it's convenient, right? If it's not too much of a hardship on me, I would probably do, but it does not take courage or strength to look out for number one here. That is a natural, my flesh, and my flesh is at war. When Ephesians in chapter 4 or 5, I remember which one, talks about us being a new man, we have a new focus, a new direction for our life. So this is what I want to encourage you. I know it's quick. Last time I spoke forever. I'll try to keep it short. Trust God with your life. You know, I think, and Pastor has done it two or three weeks in a row where he's laid out the plan of salvation. And he's like, if you don't know God, it doesn't matter the words I'm sharing. Your first decision is, what are you going to do about the cross? What are you going to do about Jesus? You're either going to receive him or reject him. There is no middle road on that, okay? There is none. And that's been on his heart enough. And I want to tell you that I agree 100% with him, that is the first choice every one of us need to make. And I don't like it when people give you this fluff story about following Jesus. If you give your life to God, you know what? Everything's going to be okay. It's all going to be roses. It's all going to be easy. It's good. He's going to pour out his blessings on you. But I hear so many people telling their story, and they don't mean to, but I look at my life, and I look at all the blessings God has given me by giving my life and following him. I can't even express to you how grateful of the life I've lived because of following God. So what naturally comes out of us is excitement about what God has done in our lives. But the truth of the matter is, sometimes it's difficult. And I don't want to lie to anybody, because what God is saying is, the world says this, and I have a new path, a new way. I want you to trust me with your life, with the way you think, with the way you respond, with the words you say, with the money you make, with the time that you have. I want you to take it and follow me, all of it. Follow me. See, many of us aren't willing to take up our cross daily and follow him. Many of us want to say, yeah, I'll say some words and go to heaven, and that's what I need to do, right? And I want to be honest with you. God is calling us out from among the world, that he wants us to be different. And you know something? That takes those same words that David said to Solomon, that God said to Joshua, to be strong and courageous. Follow him. Trust him with your life. So I want to say, first of all, that if you don't know God, I've met a preacher who was in the pulpit for, I don't even know how long, 10, 15, 20 years. He wasn't young. He was in his 40s. I don't know when he became a pastor. And then all of a sudden, one day, I hear the story, and I went to visit him to find his truth. He accepted the Lord into his life as a preacher. That was crazy to me, okay? So the point of that is, many of you have been in church your whole life. Many of you have been doing the stuff that Christians do. But see, what God said to Joshua, that God knows your heart, and he knows your motives, your mind, the things that are going on, the truth behind who you are. And so I want to encourage you, if you've never asked God into your life, make that decision. See, we think that by not making the decision, we really don't have to worry about it. But by not making a decision, you've made a decision. That if God was to come home today, take us back, come back and receive us, the decision is made for you. And I don't want to scare you. I don't like those tactics either. I feel like we need to be honest with each other and say that nobody knows what tomorrow holds for any of us. Be strong and courageous. Maybe you saying, I've been doing this journey a long time, but I've never given my life to God, and I need to do that. Even if people look at me and say, what? I thought you'd been a Christian for 20 years. Be strong and courageous. Second thing, stop living by what you want and trust. Wait, stop living by what you want and trust his word, what God's word says. It's a blanket statement for all of us. We need to stop bending God's word to make our life feel better about the actions we're doing. Does that make sense to you? Stop bending the Bible so you can feel good about the choices you're making. Listen, I'm not saying we're all going to be perfect. We're not. I'm not even close. But the day I start rationalizing and saying that God's okay with it, I'm in big trouble. Because the truth is, God's word is pretty clear on most things. On most things, he's very clear on how we should live. It's a simple truth. So if you got to start piecing together a big puzzle to make it fit, well, yeah, this works. See, in this verse, and this verse, and this verse, this verse. If you read them all four in a row like that's the way it was written, then it does make me feel better about how I'm living, the choices I'm making. See, we need to be strong and courageous and trust what God's word says, that it is true. See, I don't know that all of us believe that his word is true. And if it's true, then we need to start living it and obeying it. And then the third thing is one that falls into me a lot, and that is when you fall down, and we all do, don't make excuses. Get up and start over again. Man, we're not graded on our failures and successes. You know that? We're graded on the choice of whether or not we're pursuing and choosing to follow Jesus. If you've given your life to Jesus and you're going to choose to follow him, then do it. And when you fall, get back up. It's like saying I'm going to run a marathon and then tripping halfway and say, dang it, I blew it. No, you get up and you keep going. And many of us have gone through hardships and difficulties and failures, sin and just mistakes in our life, whether it be financial or whatever they could be. And we've fallen and we've chosen to just stay down. And I want to encourage you, all of you, myself included, to get back up. See, the tagline that Jesus had on all of these is that I will never leave you nor forsake you. In other words, when you fall, when you trip, when you make that mistake or that different mistake and it's every day seems like something tripping you up and you're falling, because let me tell you something, Satan doesn't want you running this race. He wants you to pursue everything but Jesus. So when he gets you and you make a mistake and you fail and you get off track and you fall down, God's right there with you. He cares about you. He loves you. And he cares about what you're going through. And he wants you to trust him. He may not want to remove the circumstances of your life. He may just want you to trust him. Obey him and follow him. Dave, you want to come? We're just going to have just a small altar time. It's not going to be a long one because we have the communion due today. But this is what I wanted to do. And I want to reiterate what Pastor has said many times. And that is, this is our altar, that any time during worship that you feel God is speaking to you and you need to hit your knees right here before God, do it. Don't hesitate. Don't worry about, well, what are people going to think? Maybe being strong and courageous is getting out of your seat. For some of you, it might be that choice of salvation. I need to come up here and give my life to God. If you need to do that, don't wait. It always worries me when we make it feel like this is the only place you can accept the Lord. It's not. But I know that if that conviction's on you now, it's harder to hear that when you leave. But when you're laying at home in your bed, and you're evaluating your own life, and you're thinking through the day, and you remember what was spoken, be honest before God. You can give your life to God laying in bed at night, staring at the ceiling, and say, God, I've been trying to play this fencing. I get what you're saying. I just have never committed to following you. Be strong and courageous. If there's anyone here this morning who has never done that, has never given their life, I want to encourage you to do it this morning. Don't put it off. Not because I'm here, has nothing to do with me, guys. It's about beginning a journey and direction for your life. God's word says he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes through the Father but through him. And that was Jesus speaking. Choose that today. Then the second thing is maybe you need to confess, not to me, but to God. God, I've been bending your rules. I've been trying to make my life fit into your word. And so I'm choosing this scripture, and I've made it all fit, God, and I'm wrong. This is sin. Father, help me be strong enough to not do it. Forgive me for my sins. Forgive me for my failure. If that's where you're at, be strong and courageous. Maybe some of you have just fallen. Life has beaten you up. Satan has tripped you up. Just need someone to encourage you to say, get up. Guys, all of us need each other. I believe that passionately. I believe with all my heart that our goal in life is to trust God and his word and follow it, and then surround us with people who are on the same journey and walk it out. Good, ugly, bad, difficult, all those things are important, because I've already known from my past experience that I can't do it on my own. It isn't about, is God enough for my life? I know God is enough for my life, but he uses the people around me to encourage me, to challenge me, to push me, sometimes to help me get up and to get back on the journey that he's called me in my life. See, David, he had a desire to do something amazing for God. David wanted to build a temple and God said no. How would some of us respond if we had this great desire to do something for God and God said no? We'd be upset at God. No, what I'm saying is trust him. Trust him with everything in your life. Worship team, if you come on up. We're gonna take communion, and then any time during communion, any of that, if you need to come to the altar, if you need to come talk to me, if you need to come talk to my wife, she's right here, and please come and let's just talk about how awesome God is, okay? But also about how much he loves you, and then the direction he has for your life. He's an amazing God who loves you. I can say that without hesitation because I know that in my life. Communion is one of those things that we get to do out of obedience. I love that. That he gives us certain directions and things that he says, do this. You know, communion's one of those. Communion, they were all together. They had done the Passover feast since Moses. Okay? When he got the Israelites out of Egypt and he had the Passover, the death angel passed over the door, they started celebrating that to remember. And so they're doing this feast that had been tied together for, long, long, hundreds, thousands of years. And it was traditional. They did it the same way. They did it the way they'd always done it, and they're in the middle of this. And so Jesus with his disciples are in that room in this, wherever this building is. They called it the upper room, so we know it was an upstairs room. And they're together, and Jesus just in the middle of their traditional whatever, how they do it. And I've been to one through the meal that the Jewish does. It's really cool, but it's all traditional and laid out, and it's neat. But in the middle of all that, he takes bread, and it wasn't traditional, and he breaks it. And he said, this is my body. This is my body that's given for you. See, that made no sense to them at the time, but that's what he said. Take, eat, do this in remembrance of me. Then he took the cup later on. It wasn't like right after it. It was after the meal, actually. He took the cup, the wine, whatever they had in that day, whether it was alcoholic or not, it's irrelevant. It was the drink they had. And he took that wine and he said, this blood represents the new covenant. See, we're no longer bound by the Old Testament rules on every sin you do is a sacrifice of a dove, a pigeon, a goat, whatever it is. It's no longer bound by that. What I'm doing is I'm going to pay a sacrifice to you, and the blood that is shed is going to be for all sin. It's going to wash away the sins. If you choose and follow me, I'll take care of the sin part. My blood. They took it. They drank from the cup. He said, this do in remembrance of me. And I get it. We get busy sometimes. And we have so many things we want to teach you as a church family, a church body, that we need to sometimes and regularly stop and remember why we're here. It's that cross. Jesus hung on a cross. He gave his body. His physical body was given for you, for me. And his blood was shed and poured out. And I am so grateful. Man, I would hate to see anybody go through the suffering that he went through, but I'll be honest with you. I am so grateful for the blood that was shed on my behalf. That it's not about how good I am. It's not about how righteous I am, but my righteousness is made complete because what he did on the cross for me and for you. So this morning, as the people are going to serve communion, come on up. I don't know where they're at. We're going to take communion together for one purpose, to remember what he's done for us. See, it's just another step of obedience that he asks us to do. It's like tithing. He said, do it. He said, do this. Don't forget to meet together. Come together and worship me together. That's something that God's word says to do. We're supposed to do this. And as the men serve this, there'll be a station here, a station here, a station there. And I'm going to go serve them first. We're missing Pastor Laird. I normally do that over there. I'm going to go serve them, and then when we're done, I want you to come forward, and we go out to that wall, and the middle section comes this way, and comes this way around. And we just take pieces of bread off, dip it in the juice, and remember what was done on the cross to you. Over the next couple minutes while I'm serving the men over there, I'd ask you to just maybe spend some time talking to God. First of all, do you know him? Is he your direction in life? Is he the Lord of your life? Number two, are you obeying him? Are you following him? You need to stop doing something and change the direction in your life. Have you fallen? It's tough to get up. Get things right with God in this time here, then we'll take communion together. as you come in obedience and remember what he's done. If you need to kneel, if you need to go to the side somewhere and just pray and get some things right with God, I just want to encourage you to do it. That's what being family is, right? We love each other to help each other stay on the right path, and we encourage each other and we build each other up, and we trust and obey what God's word says. So let's come now and let's partake.